Are you wondering how you can contribute to Funniest Thing?
Don't flip out. Go to patreon.com/funniest thing.
Whoa!
Oh!
I landed that.
Oh!
That would have been crazy.
This one is called The Pants. Take 8.
Yoga!
Welcome to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed, the best-looking guys on the radio. We all know the funniest things happen when we stop taking ourselves too seriously and step out boldly, like Mr. Magoo blindly stepping onto the next swinging girder and falling into an outrageous jackpot. Your hosts, Daryl and Ed, are about to administer a refreshing dose of laughter and love that will inspire you to step out boldly and experience the funniest things. Now, here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed.
Welcome to The Funniest Thing.
where
each week we share stories about how stepping out boldly always leads to better than expected outcomes.
Yes, it does.
I'm Daryl.
I'm Ed.
And we're broadcasting live from Chobo Studios in beautiful downtown.
Beautiful downtown Van Nuys.
Yes. And today, we have a great episode.
Yes, we do.
Last week, we had Wayne Manning.
Oh, my God. Was that something?
And this week, we have a friend of his who actually referred us to Wayne Manning.
Yeah. Oh, my God. By the way, we've had several people who started their gratitude journals. Susan Sly out in the UK, one of them.
Oh,
since
wow.
Since last week, Wayne's at the Academy of Coaching Excellence.
And, yeah, well, the simple gratitude journal was keep a little pad on your nightstand and just write three things you're grateful for before you fall asleep.
Yeah.
From that day.
If you're watching on YouTube, you can see I have a little pad. I was going through so many pads that I found these on Amazon. They're like $5 for two of them. And they're like recycled paper or some whatever they are. But I write my thank you, my gratitude journal or whatever is. I thank God. I said, dear, I kind of got this from May. What's her name? McCarthy. Dear God, partner, rich Godfather, loving God, whatever, Godmother, whatever I want to say. And then I just write a thank you note. And once I start writing it, I start thinking of more things to thank. And I give thanks for the things that are going to happen tomorrow. I already gave thanks for the show. It's already done. I know that I've started adding drawings, thanks to Kathy Norman, dollar signs, angels. But today's show is called I Know a Shortcut with Reverend John Strickland. Man, it sounds good. Reverend, we learned, bless you, sir. We learned that Reverend was a term of reverence, that of appreciation for someone who lives this stuff, that it was originally wasn't meant to be like a job title or
Jesus
something.
Jesus didn't call himself. He didn't sign things. Reverend Jesus.
Yeah, Dr. That's right. It was Dr. Elizabeth Marshall who told us that originally it was something that you would say to someone else, referring to them as a reverend. And John Strickland definitely qualifies in our life. And so today's show is called I Know a Shortcut with John Strickland. God makes a way where there is no way is an affirmative way of stating that a mustard seed of faith is all that it takes. It is a confirmation that God will bring our desires about in spite of our doubts. Our job is to treat the concern and let God take care of the condition. Live in the solution of belief and assume the feeling of relief as though your desired outcome has already occurred. Avoid the temptation of taking the long way of worry, doubt, and outlining the obstacles. On this episode, Daryl and Ed get us looking forward to what's next, expecting demonstrations of health, wealth, and happiness. And during the second segment, Jolly John Strickland helps us avoid the temptation of self-pity and jump all in with faith with today's reading, Everlasting Good. We learned an amazing fact about today's reading in relation to John Strickland, didn't we? Regarding who wrote the reading?
Yes, Joyce Kramer.
Yep. Community minister.
Her ministry is being maintained by Sammy Smith.
Yes, friend of the show, guest of the show.
So if you want to sign up for these daily readings, which we highly recommend.
Yes.
Because Joyce Kramer does not dance around, as John Strickland says.
That's right.
It's pure medicine, metaphysical kick upstairs. And then, coincidentally, just now, just before the show, we found out that Joyce Kramer is the one who ordained John Strickland 48 years ago as a Unity minister.
I think, can we unmute yourself, John? I just want to ask you a quick question about that. All okay. Transparency. John's already here, even though he's not on this segment. John, can we hear you?
Yes.
You remember the day you were ordained by Joyce Kramer by any chance?
I absolutely do. It was on Friday the 13th. How could I forget?
Right.
Friday the 13th, August in 1976. I was only 5 years old then.
You and Daryl were, you were just a little younger than Daryl at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Where was that at Unity Village when you were?
It was at Unity Village. Yes, sir.
Nice.
Beautiful time.
Yeah. Where did they do the ordaining at that time?
It was in what they called the Activity Center. It's where they held church services. It was we may have been the first class ordained there, maybe, or second class. It was a brand new, beautiful building. And then you had a reception, you know, in the Rose Garden. You've been there, right? You've seen that
Rose Garden.
It's such a beautiful place.
Yes.
So, yeah.
We always recommend people going there. Even just staying in the hotel and making your own tour out of it. That's what Daryl and I usually do.
Yeah.
And it's so prayed up that we always get downloads and just we come away feeling better about life. And, you know, the spirit lives on there for sure. I just wanted to ask you one more thing. Do you remember anything? But I know you said Joyce Kramer didn't dance around, but anything else you remember about Joyce Kramer you could share?
Well, I had the opportunity once to be a guest speaker at her church.
Mm-hmm.
It was a marvelous church, a large church of Virginia Beach. And she didn't have a big staff. She kind of did it all herself with an associate. I mean, you think about big churches have big staff, but she didn't need that. She could do it all. And she did. And she was there many, many years.
Yeah. She carried a big staff.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, bon, bon. Yeah, good line.
Pun intended, my good man. All right, we'll check in with you in the second segment.
Okay.
But, Daryl and I, we got Engineer Indy over here, and then whoever comes in as the guest, that's the full staff. And sometimes it works out nicely that way. How you doing, Indy?
Doing great. I just want to say, give me an F. Give me a T. Give me a WDE. It's Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed, live from Chobo Studios.
All right, dude. Cheerleader on top of that. So we'll add that title to your name. Why don't we thank Jeff Comfort? He's out there in Kansas City, Kansas. He uploads all the audio. If you're on YouTube and you don't know about podcasts, you probably have an app on your phone where you can listen to Funniest Thing in your car or on your jog or at the gym.
Or while you're at work, filing things.
Yeah, yeah. So each week, Jeff Comfort
takes us
right into the comfort zone. That's his jet that you just heard. What do you want to do next?
Well, we got readings.
All right. Yeah, let's bust out a reading.
Oh, wait. Let's do the three breaths.
Okay.
We have good three breaths.
Someone just whispered this in my ear when I was pulling up to the to Chobo Studios into the driveway. And so, of course, I knew better than to shoo that little silly thought away. Mentioned it to Daryl, Indy. Everyone was excited.
Perfect.
So, because this show is called, what's it called again? Shortcut? I know a shortcut.
Because that's what Jesus said to his followers when they were mumbling and complaining and losing their faith. He said, come on, guys, I know a shortcut.
That's right. And remember, all those disciples, the voices in the Bible are the voices in our head. The doubts, the worries, and the Christ is within us as well. So to really live the way that we talk about, Daryl was just talking about this Charles Fillmore. You think it's a good time to share that little bit that you just shared about the remember what
thought people?
Yeah, the thought people, because it's really important.
Well,
it seems like a lot of people have interpreted Jesus' message as a call to go out and change that world out there. And while we end up doing that, it has to start inside. Otherwise, things get really mucky. And you were telling me about what Charles Fillmore.
Well, it goes.
Because it goes so well
with the reading. Okay. Then I think people connect the dots.
Yeah, yeah.
Easier.
This stuff gets so excited that my brain is connecting everything very quickly. But this goes perfectly with it because the shortcut. While I was doing my thank you note this morning, at the end I was like, I remembered. Is it Emmett Fox who says God says now?
Yeah,
yeah. He has a reading that says God says now. There's a lot of metaphysicians that have some reading. That just some writing, teaching that shares that it's now. Because all those other voices will say, later, I got to do this. Daryl's in the description. We outline the obstacles, all of that. But God, the Christ within us is saying, now, look beyond all that. God's got a totally different plan. And when I'm just learning, the more I mature, the more I'm able to laugh at the things that I think are the way things are going. And tune in to these principles that say it is always going well. It is always getting better. And so I'm learning more to love those old advisors that come forth and go, no, Ed, you got to do this. God is saying now. And it's funny because that gratitude, getting in a state of gratitude is one of the best ways to go right to now. But so anyway, I pulled up at Chobo Studios and this song came into my head. Who sings this? You know,
I don't know.
You introduced me to it.
I forgot it.
Okay.
Well, you gotta let me hear the lyrics.
Okay. All right. Maybe afterwards it'll come back to you. Clear minds. Anything I can do, God can do better.
Anything I can do, God can do better.
Anything I can do. God can do better.
I don't know if that was from Oklahoma or Annie Get Your Gun, but it was one of those.
One of those musicals?
Yeah, Ethel Merman made it a hit.
Right. Right. And I just want to say, too, then we maybe you can get that reading, the first reading.
Yeah.
It's just been really occurring to me in a very uplifting way, because I've been going through one of these periods where I'm either in Jesus land, as we call it, and just like flying high. Then other moments I'm like, what's going on? I thought I knew something about optimism and spiritual principle. You know, like I'll go. There's a lot of like opening and closing moments, and recognizing that those things, and Daryl's a huge, this is a compliment to you that you are married to the inspired idea. Like you'll run out of the room or whatever it is if it's not following that, or you'll want to. We call it tuck and roll to save your soul. Even at a Unity Church or somewhere where if the message isn't now, God says now, isn't the joy, the power is in you now. It's not really unity, because unity isn't a brand. It's a way of seeing things. It's a state of consciousness, right? Like it's a recognition of something that's already there. So it's just awesome because I was like, oh, I'm getting further away from this stuff. And then I realized, wait, never. I'm never getting further away from it. My mind thinks it is. But that's just all the old stuff on its way out. That's the old voices of fear, doubt, worry trying to tell me, oh, don't worry. God gives me an inspired idea. And then these old voices, these voices of fear, doubt, worry go, we'll take it from here. We know what to do. And they don't. They start saying, we need to work harder. We need to do it ourselves. It's already too late. All stuff like that. And so this is really a childlike faith to be able to come back and say, God says now. I listen to Jesus within, that Christ within saying, I know a shortcut. And it changes everything, because the other way, it never really gets there. The way of fear never arrives where you want to go, because you've been there all along. The way of fear is just like a way of avoiding what we really want. And but it's under the guise that we're getting somewhere.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay, good.
Now, are we going to read something?
Yes, please do.
So here, the shortcut is knowing this fact, which I'm going to read. This is from Emmett Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Jesus was telling those disciples, basically, in his own words,
yeah,
when they were all in our heads, when they started outlining, but we're going to have to do this. What's the use?
Right.
This is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to get through this one? And then we start daydreaming of nightmares that we've seen evidence of other people struggling through a similar thing. So
yep.
We take that as proof that, you know, this is it. And he said it in his own words, which Emmett Fox puts here to remind us all, because we all hear the truth will set you free. Mm. Well, what's the truth? And the truth turned out to be great news when I first discovered it. And here it is. The truth turns out to be nothing less than the amazing but undeniable fact that the whole outer world, whether it be the physical body, the common things of life, the winds and the rain, the clouds, the earth itself, is amenable to man's thought, and that he has dominion over it when he knows it. And I wrote, life is an inside job. That's great news. And he says here, oh, and if you want to know, this is from around the year when Emmett Fox, and that was from March 19. And a quick sentence from March 18 is, in other words, miracles, in the popular sense of the word, can and do happen as the result of a change in consciousness. And a change of consciousness is usually accomplished through prayer. Thus, prayer does change things. And what what Charles Fillmore was saying is, in regards to the Bible verse that gives, you know, sometimes, well, it's the one thing that I mistakenly thought all religions made you do.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if I was going to learn this spiritual stuff, am I going to have to be on a street corner handing out pamphlets or Bible verses?
Right.
Because the Bible verse, I can't recall where it is, but just to paraphrase it, is about going out and converting, you know, others in all countries to this,
right,
this way of thinking, you know, our way. That's what I thought it was. But Charles Fillmore, in the book The 12 Powers, really clarifies that in a practical way. And he says, well, what we understand this to be metaphysically is it's the power of faith within us that's connected to our higher power, the one God, instead of these many gods, and he calls them these thought people in your own mind. So it's not about converting people out there. Mm-hmm. It's about converting all these miscellaneous, like there's another reading, another verse in the Bible that talks about all these many gods. Like, he came here with many gods, and the many gods are these other little thought people in my mind. Yeah. That are saying scary things.
Right.
They're never saying positive, hopeful, encouraging things unless I realize that I am connected with God and I have dominion over my thoughts and I can convert them by my belief. And I don't have to argue with them. I just have to go, nope, you know, hands off.
Yes.
And let's get back and treat the concern. And know this, know that, this is what I wrote to myself after reading these things. I wrote about the, because sometimes we think I got to overcome this obstacle, whether it's a health concern, I got to kind of work at it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the opposite's really true. It's when I am believing in health and well-being and prosperity, and my thoughts are in harmony with those. Well, first of all, I feel better. I'm more optimistic and enthusiastic. But that is because this is joining forces with God. When I'm thinking those thoughts, I'm joining forces with the power of the universe in my favor. The law, you always should see the law. This is an Ernest Holmes thing I read last night. As a friend always working on your behalf.
Yeah.
That has your concerns at heart.
Great.
So I'm not, I don't have to, so in a short way of saying it, fear, doubt, worry, all those thoughts are just causing congestion in my body and in my mind. And knowing this makes it easier for me to want to let go of them so they don't obstruct this healing, prosperous power of God within me. And then I naturally start exuding my healthy attitude, and I'm, you know, it's contagious. Other people pick up on it. You know, it's funny because it reminded me, when I'm not thinking those ideas, I'm not being true to myself. When I'm not thinking ideas of health, optimism, that things work out for other people. Right. When I'm not thinking those thoughts, I'm being a phony. That's why when I was,
let me pause you right there, because I also want to say to people, so when I am thinking thoughts, this is going to take forever, it's never going to heal, I'm not being true to myself.
No.
Even though I may have known that way of thinking for so long that I've mistaken it as myself, it's not true to the reality, the absolute reality of my being will never be reflected through those types of thoughts.
Well, yes, and all these readings reminded me of two things that saved my butt. One was, when I was first coming to hear these things, I thought, how am I going to connect with God, like Mike Dugan, you know, connect with God. You got to believe in God. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. How do you believe in God? And he said it like in the Bible. Not, I don't even know if he was familiar with that verse about many gods, but he said, you had a lot of higher powers before you got here. And it dawned on me, holy cow. You know, once I get this new girlfriend, everything's going to be okay. Once I go to college, ooh, everything's going to change for the better. Once I join the Coast Guard, that's going to fix, like, all these outside gods that were all based in fear on the physical plane, like in the third dimensional world, that didn't really change me. My consciousness remained unchanged. And then when I got in that all the trouble in the military, and I was explaining to the Marine Corps gunny sergeant in the group, when I just show up, it was a group therapy session. It was a rehabilitation center for misfit military people. Mm-hmm. And but they taught us all this spiritual stuff. It was crazy. I was there at the right time, and one of our guests who's been on, Jeff Spikes, was there with me. We just happened to be thrown into the same place at the same time. But he said, okay, what's your story, Fizarro? And this wasn't like a group where we all got there at the same time. We're in a group. Meaning, as people were being sent to this rehabilitation center, you're the new guy.
Right.
You know, so it's like, at that time, with my mind, that's the worst thing. It's like going to a new school, you know?
Yeah.
So everyone else is sitting in the group. They throw me, okay, you're going right into, you know, Master Gunny Sergeant's, Erton's group. Okay. They throw me in. I sit down. He goes, okay, Fizarro, what's your story? And I told him, you know, my story that I thought was my story. And it was the story, you know, well, my mom, my dad, and I ended up here, and this is why I joined. And now look at this and that and blah, blah, blah. And you know what he said? He said, you're a phony beep. And it didn't just mean I was phony because I was being manipulative or whatever. He was really calling out I'm a phony because thinking all this way on the third dimensional plane is not the real me.
Yeah.
It's not the real me. The itty bitty pity committee is not the real you. You know, I know it's been called the itty bitty SHIT committee.
Yeah.
But it really, let's call it what it is. It's the pity committee, and it's so blocking my good. It's causing congestion. But knowing this is so positive and inspiring, because when I start to get the, I'm going to complain about how I feel or what's going on, I go, that's going to get in the way. Just kick that out of your head and get back, knowing that as long as you keep avoiding the temptation to worship any of these other gods, or any of these other thought people in your mind,
mm-hmm.
well, then God is good. Then you're allowing God free play in your life.
Yeah.
To transform everything. And like Emmett Fox said, this is what allows what appear to be miracles happen.
Yes. Yep.
By just getting out of the way.
Yeah, you keep mentioning Holmes, and I had a few lines from, what month were we in? March 23rd from 365, Ernest Holmes. What's it called? 365, Science of Mind. And he says, all things are possible to the person who can perfectly practice inaction. The Bible exclaims, be still and know that I am God. That's exactly what we're talking about. Get out of the phony definition of self. Be still and know I am God.
Yes.
There's a spiritual consciousness that through the power of non-resistance can change a condition that appears solid. And then he talks about how an iceberg appears solid, but the sunlight can melt it into water.
Yes.
This is what happens. Because I wanted to say, when a lot of times we internalize these naysaying voices from people that we couldn't tell them their phone, like our parents or whoever. Like if we tried to say, stop saying that or whatever, they would get angry, whatever would happen.
They double down.
But I think, so sometimes I've internalized that voice inside me, like, what's the use? I can't do anything about it. But the voice in my head is the one thing I can really convert. So I need to stand boldly in a loving place and convert the voice in my head and tell that part of me, you are not being honest. You are not being who I am. You're not, and then that voice may seem like it's going to get mad, but it will go, oh, really? Just like you in that group, it becomes willing because we have to convert our subconscious mind to get back in the flow of life. He says, there's something flowing in, around, and through all things that nothing can resist. But too often, our way is the way of resistance. We try to change the outer without changing the inner first. Today, I practice non-resistance, disregarding everything that seems to contradict the reality in which I believe. And a lot of that stuff is the voices in our head that we have to disregard them if they're contradicting our truth. I affirm that it is operating in my life, turning resolutely from everything that denies the good I wish to experience. I affirm the good.
Do we have time to read this one? This is...
Yeah, then we can...
Then we could...
We could read this quick little mail and then bring John in.
Okay. We tell you over and over, on if you're a new listener or you're going to hear it for the first time, but Michael Schoonover, who's the minister, the head minister at
Unity Way of Vista?
Yep, Unity Way of Vista.
Yeah,
California.
Unity Way Church.
Way Church in Vista, California.
Yes.
And if you get on his mailing list, it's good old-fashioned mail.
You better have a bookshelf ready.
You'll get these old, and he goes through personally each person's...
It's incredible.
Collection of writings he finds tailored to you. He highlights things, and they always seem to come right at the right time and just the medicine I need. And he dug up, this is a daily word from 1925. And at the risk of sounding fundamentalist, which we're not, but these older ones.
We've talked about this before. Really, we are fundamentalists. And that we're just getting
fundamentalists.
Yeah, fun. And just getting to what is this fundamentally about? The principles about what this is really about.
Yes, because these are principles. And like John Strickland mentioned about what we love about Joyce Kramer is she doesn't dance around anything or water it down or get concerned about what people might think. She just throws the truth out there.
Yeah. She's concerned with what she thinks.
The medicine. And you know what? If you want this stuff, you appreciate it being delivered like that. You don't need, you don't need to be...
You don't want the doctor cutting your meds with some sugar or something. You want the medicine to get rid of the thing.
So this is from Daily Word in 1925. And this one just, boom. You ready?
Ready.
God the good is the only reality in my life. And that's what we're talking about, folks. That's the shortcut. Believing in that. And knowing that as you believe, so will your circumstances be. God is good and God is all. Hence, there can be no real condition but good. And that's a quote from Christian Healing. The Christian metaphysician uses the term real as synonymous with absolute. A thing is not real simply because it has physical existence or because we can see it or handle it. Reality has permanence. It is based upon spiritual verities and truths. Such negations as fear and disease have no place or presence in truth because God is all. If you take the attitude that God or good is in disease or adversity, you give disease and adversity permanence and reality. And that's what self-pity does, folks. And right. That's what worry does. You cannot remove them from consciousness so long as you give them the substance of reality. And the only reason I have, I'm able to tell you that with authority is because I'm an expert at suffering from these two ailments, worry and self-pity, and they do not work.
That's right.
When you know that only the law of good can operate in your life, you clear from consciousness all belief in laws or principles of evil. It's that simple. Your gods, many, have been scattered by the enthronement of the one God. And that's what we're talking about. All these different ideas are the different, you know, voices we tend to worship that get in the way of allowing the non-resistant, ever-flowing power of God to work in our life. The healer who can keep his vision upon one God is instrumental in lifting his patients to a consciousness of nothing but good. God, the good, becomes so real to them that they cease giving reality to other gods, gods of disease and lack. Keep your thought and vision centered upon God. As there are gods many and lords many, yet to us there is one God, the Father.
Nice. That's great. All right. We got a postcard from Kirky. This one actually came to Daryl directly, but the quote is too perfect.
Yes.
It says, I see your face everywhere on the front with a great picture of Bizarro if you're watching on YouTube. The quote is from Karen Casey. It says, life is more liquid than it is solid, more an energy flow than a fixed entity. So perfect with the reading about the iceberg. The people, events, and circumstances that show up in your experience are a result of the thoughts and intentions you have launched in the past. If you launch new thoughts and intentions now, then new people, events, and circumstances will show up to meet your updated priorities.
Let's launch new thoughts!
That's what Shelley says in her daily reader, that you have to send out ships. You always got to keep sending out new ships if you want to get new results.
Well, you know what Florence Scovel Shin says in regardness to the law of non-resistance that we're talking about, getting the self-pity, the worry, the outlining out of your mind?
Right.
Her affirmation is, my ships come in over a calm sea.
That's right.
My ships come in over a calm sea. Things work out in your life. Miracles seem to occur naturally when our mind is calm.
And that's why the Christ in the story got up in the when there was a storm on the sea there and calmed the storm. Peace, be still. And that's what we got to do in our own mind.
Yeah.
This is incredible. But Jennifer and my wife and I were talking about Jesus. I was talking about maybe I have a new study where all of my new thought books are finally on a bookshelf where I can see them and soak them in a chair for meditating. I was in the middle of the living room. Now I got my own room. And I was talking about getting a little cool picture of Jesus. It had to be the right one. And so we were talking about why I want that. And I sign all my things in Jesus' glorious name when I sign my prayers now. And it's been like, okay, let's see what happens when I do this. I'm coming back to a relationship with Jesus. I was raised Catholic, and I've always loved Jesus. But, you know, I'm coming to a renewed relationship. And the next day, we got from Nancy Norman this amazing card in an envelope with Jesus on the front.
Well, read it carefully. It's heaven sent.
Heaven
get it?
Sent.
And on the back, it says, deliver me.
Yes. It says, you guys are the greatest, spreading love, truth, the unity way of living. What a compliment coming from Nancy Norman.
Well, did you see that she donated?
Yeah.
Okay, it was, thank you for your generous contribution to the show, Nancy.
Yeah, it goes right along with this guy right here, the new Chobo Studios $100 bill gun that, that we just discovered last week. She said, more and more people are tuning in. Money is coming from every direction to support your message. God is good and love are, and we are truly blessed. Love, Nancy. We agree, Nancy. It's funny. Last week, a yogi, Vajrapala, I think is his name, on Facebook, commented on this plastic heart ring I had been wearing when I played Janet Manning's song on the air.
So wait, who is this guru?
His name's Yogi. He's a fan of the show. I forget where he's located, but he comments on a lot of stuff on Facebook. He loves the show. Yogi Vajrapala, I think is his name.
A real yogi.
A real yogi. But he loved the ring and talked about this. It was a kid's ring that I had found on the ground at the end of Valentine's Day at the school where I teach. And I just remember when I was a kid, I used to love stuff like this, little rings and stuff. I remember going to the dump when I lived in New York and finding a big bag of fake jewelry and stuff. And, I forgot all about it. But anyway, I've been wearing it a lot. I loved it, especially working with kids. It's just going in the world, bringing me joy. And he said how much he loved it for the performance. So yesterday I was at this Great Western Hoagies in Venice getting sandwiches for my wife and son and I, cheesesteaks. And the guy who worked there was like, I love your ring. And then they were talking about how they give you we'll trade cheesesteaks for rings and all this, but I had already ordered, so we didn't trade a cheesesteak. But I went out to the car, where it was a little bit of a wait for my food. I went back in, and I was like, you know what? I got to tell you where I found this ring. And I said, I found it on the ground at the school, and I said, are you really going to wear it? He said, I'll pass it on to you. And the guy just put out his hand, and I took it from my finger and slipped it onto his. And he said, I too will pass it on to the next person. So it was a very sweet little moment. And so, Yogi, that ring is continuing to circulate the love.
When did that happen?
Yesterday afternoon.
What time?
I was probably around 4 or 4:30.
That's the same time I signed Stephen Bruni, who's been a guest, and Jenna Jay, who's been a guest.
Oh, wow.
Their marriage license.
Dude, love is in the air. What do you always say from the guy, the skunk, the Pepe Le Pew? Savoir faire.
Savoir faire is everywhere.
Yes, it is. And coming up next, Jolly John Strickland helps us to avoid the temptation of self-pity and jump in with faith with today's reading, Everlasting Good, and so much more. Thank you for listening to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed from Chobo Studios.
We now return to The Funniest Thing. Here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed, the best-looking guys on the radio.
All right, welcome back. Funniest Thing, Daryl and Ed. Today's show is called I Know a Shortcut with John Strickland. I just want to take a moment. Indy, what'd you say? This is a one-year anniversary of what?
Yeah, one-year anniversary of my surgery. The surgery I had, I mentioned it on the show a year ago, and it's crazy. Like you were mentioning, and we have to heal the idea that God takes time, and boy, time flew. That's for sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Just so happy for that, yeah.
We love to hear it. We love to hear it. And we also love to hear the voice of the great Reverend Jolly John Strickland. How are you, sir?
Excellent. It's a great day.
It is a great day, isn't it?
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. Daryl's very excited. Do you mind if I just read you? There's a book that I think I got it at Unity Village. It's called Be Ye Prospered by Ruthanna Schenck. And I just happened to open it today off of that bookshelf I was talking about. I got my metaphysical bookshelf. And I felt something calling my name from the bookshelf. I thought it was going to be a Charles Fillmore, because I've been asking Charles Fillmore to kind of guide me lately. I've just been feeling that calling. So you sharing that stuff from Fillmore really spoke to me. But anyway, this book popped off, and it says, if you're complaining about your present occupation, you are wasting the very energy that you should be putting into growing out of it. You're making little grooves in your life that lead you backward, not forward. Do not grieve over your present or over your past, feeling that you have made mistakes. Know that never have you made a mistake. It is true that in light of your present knowledge, some of your past acts may look like mistakes, but you should be fair to yourself and remember that in the past you did not know what you know now. Do not look with regret upon present or past experiences, but look ahead with increased wisdom, therefore with increased power to achieve. Ain't that the truth? That's one of the rare people John Strickland didn't know about, Ruthanna Shank.
I thought I knew them all, but not her. So
yeah. Right. I know. That book was written in 1928. I guess it was a little bit before your time. Mm-hmm. So you've been listening to us share our two cents on the matter. Is there anything you wanted to share that's right off the bat based on sitting here listening, spending time with us?
Well, the thing that I want, I have a piece that I'm going to read from the late, great Joyce Kramer.
Yes.
But it's about faith. And in nearly 50 years of ministry, I've had a lot of people say, I want you to pray for me to have faith or to have more faith. And I'd say, I want to steer you in a different direction. You have all the faith you need. And what was it Jesus said? You only need about the size of a mustard seed. It's not how much faith you have, it's where are you placing it. And you, we were talking earlier about these false gods, the fears, the worry, the doubt, the sickness, the lack. And we place a lot of our faith energy in the wrong god. So we need to place it in the things we want about life, the things we know about God, abundance of healing, of unconditional love, all of that. If we place our faith there, we're going to manifest that. And so then that brings us to the writing of Joyce Kramer. Are we ready for that?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
I love it. I love it. My faith is in good. All else will pass away from me, but good is eternal and everlasting. You see, that's where you have to place the faith. We've all heard the question, what's in this for me? If ever we become tempted to take this attitude, let us firmly add one small yet powerful word, good. What good is in this for me? How quickly this alters the whole meaning, and how quickly this change can bring the good into our lives. If a very difficult to get along with person enters your life, I know that's never happened to you two, but it has to be. Even in ministry. So if this person enters your life, rather than become irritated and hostile, ask yourself, what good might come of this? Perhaps there is an opportunity to learn a much-needed lesson in recognizing the Christ in yourself and in others. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. It's easy enough to see good in the beautiful and pleasant, but it's important that we become aware of the omnipresence of good. Good is present even in our darkest moments. And how wonderful we feel as we become discoverers of good. Mm. It is through the power of divine spirit within that we are able to see all things as they truly are. I am still confident of this, writes Joyce Kramer, and quotes Psalm 27:13, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, I will. And it's instantaneous. We talk about shortcuts. Why take the long way around Robin Hood's barn, the circuitous route, when you can get there right now by turning your faith in the direction of what it is you truly want and what you desire? And what is God's will for your life? Wow. Don't waste your faith on all the things that are dark and gloomy and disappointing. Faith in God, the good, omnipotent, omnipresent. Wow. What a lesson for all of us.
Yes, it is. It really rearranges everything in my life. I was thinking about when you were reading that, I was thinking about how I can be doing the things I love, but if I'm doing them for sort of the wrong reasons and motivations and using like too much self-will to try to get things done in ways that don't support my inner Christ, then even now, I was just thinking about examples of artists, like great artists that were like Elvis or Michael Jackson, who got caught up in sharing the right gift, but not honoring the Christ within themselves fully and ended up like having a lot of pain and such.
Because
it changes everything when even sharing my gifts is not to gain my worthiness. Because the shortcut is that I'm already worthy. The shortcut, part of the shortcut, right, is that I'm already here. So how do I live if I'm already there, right? It changes. That's some reason that light bulb's going off because I'm thinking of myself driving to work. Oh, my God, I'm going to be late. You know, that's so different than I'm going in there to bless these kids and share my gifts and bless even, if you know, my principal and everyone else involved, you know?
Or look at how God is evidence for God working in your life and answering prayers that you didn't even know you were going to need prayers answered for.
Mm-hmm.
So about a little over 2 weeks ago, I started getting this unusual pain in my body. Mm-hmm. And I just, okay, you know, my body knows what to do here. It takes care of amazing things. And the doctor, even at one point, after I had something removed a while back, said, wow, you have a, because I said, you did incredibly well. I didn't even have a scar or anything. But ironically, I was already using the type of prayer called Remember When. I don't know if that might not ring a bell with John, but what I was doing, John, I was concerned about how it was feeling and starting to go down that, putting my faith in obstacle thinking, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so I said, nope, I'm going to start living in the future. So I started saying, God, remember when you were concerned about this? Mm. And then I started seeing the doctor in my eye, in my mind saying, wow, I can't believe this healed so well. This looks fantastic. This is better than expected. I go for my follow-up appointment, and that's exactly what he said to me. But I had to use the Remember When to deactivate this. So that being said, recently I started getting this, I'm getting this pain. It doesn't seem to be going away. I mean, it diminishes and comes back, and it could really be a harrowing experience for my old way of thinking. And I've just been putting my foot down where worry is going to get in the way of the healing, so we're not going to worry. And it's working. So out of the blue, when I first started getting this pain, I get a postcard in the mail from the VA saying, hey, we want to set an appointment with your primary care doctor just for your, you know, annual thingamajig, you know, just nothing serious, just out of the blue, John. So I call up and the lady says, well, we got appointments, the administrator. Well, we got appointments in April, but they're on Wednesdays. And I go, well, I got something going on Wednesdays. She goes, well, I have one next week. A week from when I picked up the phone, when I called her. So I said, all right, looks like I'm going next week. I go in and I'm going, wow, this is remarkable. I'm seeing like all the good in spite of not getting, you know, any seemingly results to what I was concerned about, but it's making me feel good. Like she says, how wonderful we feel as we become discoverers of good. And I know the more I see God working in my life, the more it's evidence that God's working in all areas of my life, including the thing I've been concerned about. So I get a phone call, and I happen to have my ringer on Monday. So I called to make the appointment on a Thursday. The appointment's for a Wednesday the following week, and I haven't had my ringer on. And I had my phone somewhere in the house, and it's ringing and ringing. I'm like, where is it? I get to the phone in time to answer it. Like, it made no sense that it didn't go to voicemail.
Right.
And it was one of the nurses at the VA saying, oh, your appointment's on Wednesday. And I said, okay, this is just to tell me I got my appointment. And he said, oh, and we need blood and urine. And the appointment's in 2 days.
Mm.
So I said, okay, when is the lab open? He says, oh, it's open till 6. And I go, all right. And I was able to go that day. I pull up, and, you know, you could be there for hours sometimes. I pull up, and there's the valet Parker's at the VA. And he goes, oh, here, right this way. And the guy's name is Daryl also. I mean, we always joke when we see each other, the valet guy, because our colors don't match. So we're always like, Daryl. So he puts me in like a VIP space. I can hang onto my keys. I don't have to take my keys. I'm like, this is incredible. Uh-huh. And I just keep looking for the good, John. I get in there and there's some, you know, people not getting what they want or something.
Grumbling.
And I'm going, you know what? I'm just going to keep blessing. Do the blood. Do the tests. Go to my appointment. Get there on Wednesday for my appointment. Same thing happens with Daryl. There's no line for parking. And he goes, wait, 1 minute. And he didn't even know it was me yet. He goes, the guy's pulling out right here. You can pull in right here. Keep the keys. I'm like, Daryl, it's me. He's like, whoa. And so I was driving home from that. And then even after my appointment, I didn't really get a solution. They're going to send me to urology. And the urologist appointment isn't for a month. And I'm like, oh, my God. Mm. But I'm driving home and I'm going, you know what? This is amazing because there are people I know who just suffer through it all. Like they don't even, like none of this comes up on their radar as God working in their life or to get joy from all these little seeming coincidences in the process of something that could be terrorizing psychologically. You know, when we don't have a resolution or we don't have any reassurance of what could be going on, you know? So I'm going, oh my God, I am so fortunate to have learned how to look for the good. And just like she says, what good is in this for me? And ultimately, I remembered like going to these appointments when I start thinking, oh, do they know what they're doing or this and that? And starting to tell myself, this place is like a Civil War hospital. You know, all these horrible thoughts. And I go, no, I'm going there. I got a job to do, man. I'm an ambassador of God's love. And I go there with an intention that goes beyond trying to get something.
Yes.
Like, and man, it's a game changer. I have a nice conversation with everyone I meet. And you know what? This thing's going to work its way out one way or the other. And I use a May Roland affirmation. I am young, healthy, and strong. My body knows it, and my body shows it. And another one, because two people have said to me, no, you're already healed. And I said, yes, I am already healed. My mind accepts that. Because the only thing getting in the way is my mind accepting that. Lori said that. She goes, you're already healed. Your mind just needs to catch up to believing that. And I said, yes, you're right. I am already healed. My mind accepts this. My mind accepts this. I accept this.
Yes.
My mind believes this, and I believe it.
That's great.
And it's really been changing. It's really been an exercise in how much it transforms my mood. And all this does is it elevates my faith to the point where I feel joyful. And I know joy is the strength of the Lord. And it's not me trying to make myself joyful, packing the musket.
Right.
No, I'm happy about this. God's in charge. But I'm really, you know, I'm resisting it because I have had people, well, God's looking at me. I just want to punch them because they're like a packed musket. I want to jab them with a pin just to let the air out. Now I know Master Gunnery Sergeant Mike Erton, why he just came out and said, you know what you are? You're a phony beep. And he popped. It was a blessing because he popped. He put a hole in and let a non-resistance just flowed out of me. I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah, you're healed now, man. The amount of energy that just flowed through you on that last part, imagining popping people.
Oh, yeah. Blood. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are definitely healed.
Well, you confronted those people.
Oh, no, I love it. I'm not being, padding, I'm being sincere. Like the amount of energy.
When you're like,
oh, I know it.
When you're going through an insane time.
Oh, yeah.
And you just
doesn't help.
You want to throw a cinder block at him? Yeah.
if we have time for a quick story that supports this.
Oh, we got plenty of time.
Some years ago, that I had my neck. I was having trouble, and I had a friend said, "Oh, I've got a really great chiropractor. You've got to go to this guy." So I go there, and he said, "What are you here for?" So I have this pain in my neck. He says, "Sit down. We're going to have a talk." He said, "Before I do the adjustment, I want to know who is the pain in your neck."
Yes.
And I thought, Oh, and I knew exactly. He said, I can adjust your neck, but if you don't deal with that pain in your neck in your life, it's just going to keep coming back.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I didn't want conflict. I didn't want to confront. I didn't want to do that sort of stuff. But he said, you have to go take care of that. And when I did, the neck was fine. I was fearing it. I was worrying about it. It wasn't that hard to deal with that once I gave myself permission to deal with it. And then the neck was fine.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That rings so much true. That's what reminds me. Did you look into seeing that acupuncturist guy?
No. I haven't had the chance. Yeah, now yeah. I got to present it comes it up, to them.
Yeah. Because I was just thinking, when I went to see him with my ear, I don't even know that he healed the ear, but the meditation I had on the table with the needles, that's the part I always look forward to.
Yes,
the most
that's
when
the
I go
healing.
To
yes, I yeah. agree.
That was a great story, John. That's quite a metaphysician of a chiropractor that you
Yeah.
Yeah. That's such a great reminder. Because when the physical part is present, it can really feel like that trumps the mental, right? Because it's so much of our five senses are thinking. But
like it's said in one of the readings that we read today, that the five, we start focusing on the physical. It was right here where, here it is. A thing is not real simply because it has a physical existence or because we can see it or handle it. Reality has permanence. It is based upon spiritual verities and truths.
Yeah.
Such negations as fear and disease have no place or presence in truth because God is all.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Wow. You know, I had, when I was in Hawaii, and you know that, a great friend with a wonderful Marian old sister, Catholic nun, just a beautiful, and she sort of was the counselor to every Unity minister who served there. That's just kind of the way this worked. But she would say, sometimes we put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yes.
And when we try to work from the outer, we're working at the wrong end.
Yeah.
It's right. The emphasis on the wrong syllable.
That's so funny. Someone else just made that joke to me, either yesterday or the day before. This is the second time.
That's crazy.
That's a good reminder to me about which syllable I'm emphasizing, because I think I'm pretty damn good at emphasizing emphasizing the wrong syllable. That's so good, man. I don't know if this is why this is popping up in my brain, but when John Strickland wakes up in the morning, do you read, meditate, pray? What does your morning look like? Do you have a practice?
I do have a practice, and it is actually before I get out of bed. Usually my wife is still asleep, and this might be 4 in the morning, and I spend time meditating before I get out of bed, but I work from the feet. And I work my way up, including the 12 powers or the 7 chakras, if you will, and some other areas. And I work that all the way up to the top of my head, which then is the crown chakra. And I learned we had a person doing a singing bowl ceremony once, and he said, there's a star chakra way up in the stars. I'd never heard of a star chakra, but I see that pouring light on me. And then I direct it to everyone I know that has asked, or maybe hasn't asked, but has some kind of challenge and needs that spiritual light.
Yes.
And so I take that light and I shine it all over the world. And I shine it among world leaders and people running for president and things like that. They need that light.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's not me to tell them what to do or not to do, but just to bring light.
Yeah.
So that's how I start my day.
That's wonderful. You know, I heard about that as well. Like, but I look at it as like a halo. And I always think about it like the crown chakra, that purple crown or whatever that you want to call it. I always picture it because I heard that like the third eye is like, I'm aware. Somewhere I saw these affirmations. I'm aware that the Christ mind is my mind. And then this crown chakra is my mind. The Christ mind is my mind. And then I always picture that's like a tunnel going up to that halo, and that's where it's beyond time and space, like where I exist beyond this time and space, like you're saying. And I see that light going around the world, and it just makes it easier. Because in reality, right now, there's people anywhere I might fear when you hear something in the news, whether it's China, Russia, whatever might be coming into my mind, there are people right now who are new thought people that believe and know, and even if they, that word, whatever, they know and they believe and they have faith in the same God I do. There's only one God. And I just feel connected to it. And I think it's so important for me to get my mind, like Daryl talked about it with the globe when during the Cold War, visualizing world peace by holding a globe and sending love around it. And it's funny because when I was a kid, I used to put my hands around like under my pillow and make pretend the world. But I was Catholic, so it was a little more fear-based than Daryl. But it's weird that we both had a very similar experience. I just picture light going to the world. But yeah, that feeling of that light, that's not, like you said, it's not me telling anyone what to do, but that light knows what to do. And everyone's connected to it. And it's when we forget and get in our consciousness detached from the awareness of that light that we start getting off the rails. So well, I love that. Also,
John, do you know about this chakra?
Oh, yeah.
We learned about a couple of weeks ago mm-hmm. on the show mm-hmm. from a guest that you've got to make sure is not congested. I don't know if you include this in your morning routine. The clown chakra.
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
You got to keep that clown chakra.
So true.
Because that's alive and open, because that's the one that reminds us to not take anything seriously.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I forget who it was that said this, and maybe Minish said it, but Sig Paulson was a great Unity minister and many followers, and he said world peace is too important to take seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. The teacher I had said, replace the word serious with sincere. And I like that. Like, I can be sincere about something. So my kids will go, are you serious when I'm working? I go, I'm not serious, but I am sincere. This is what I want you to do, or something like that. But the energy of sincerity, to me, is just love and joy yes. and lightness. And I think sometimes that's a nice way to replace those two words and the two energies. I like to be sincere, serious.
Well, because serious is motivated by self-centered fear.
Yeah.
Sincerity is loving direction.
That's right. Yes.
You know, 50 years ago when I entered ministerial school, I was one of the youngest people. There's probably been a handful of us that were eventually ordained at 23. But in speech, they kept telling me over and over, you got to loosen up. You're never going to make it as a minister unless you loosen up. So yeah. I loosened up. You know, you have to loosen up. Yeah. You can't do it. And first of all, who really wants to go to church and hear a deadly serious sermon? You
know? Right.
Nobody. Oh! This is perfect.
Yeah, you're setting up.
What's it called?
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, for our little story at the end.
For
a
little story about you.
Hey, did you?
Here it comes.
I was on along those lines, and we're going to get to the story, and it is perfect for what you just said. I was just thinking about all the metaphysicians you've known. Is there anyone that stands out as like a particularly joyful teacher for you that you've had, or that you've seen someone who embodied the joy of this stuff?
Boy, there were so many of them who are great storytellers. You might never have heard of Max Lafser. He's passed on, but oh my gosh. And he would sometimes, he didn't use notes really. And he'd get telling a story and he'd say, oh, I forgot the punchline is not one I should be telling. But you have to continue the story because you started it. You
know? Right.
So, Max Lafser was one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever know Mary Kupferle?
I sure did, yeah. I think she's the one that invented the burning bowl ceremony that we do on New Year's Eve a lot.
Really? You know,
where you write out all the stuff you want to release. Uh-huh. I think she was in Delray Beach, and that's where I first learned of the burning bowl.
Excellent. Yeah, because I love her book. We love her book, God Will See You Through.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the one that also first started using the terms. What do you call people? We're not Unitarians. And I think she's the one that started calling us Unitics.
Unitics. Perfect.
And what about May Rowland? Did you ever?
One of my personal heroines. And when I went to school, she had been retired then and succeeded by James Dillett Freeman. But what I love about May is she would come and sit with the students and treat us as equals. You know, she was this great, great big figure we all looked up to. And she would sit with us and listen to us and talk. But her one of her things was the light touch.
Yeah.
The light touch.
Oh, I love
that.
And
I don't know if you ever played golf at Unity Village, but on one of the holes, there's a water fountain that if you didn't know it, you stepped on a lever and it would squirt face water in your face.
Oh.
And one minister said, we ought to call that the May Rowland Memorial Fountain because you have to give it the light touch or you're going to get splashed all over your face. So more than you wanted to know, but that was a funny story, though.
That's great. You know, and you saying that is really timely. This week, I write a column in the Culver City News in the town where Daryl lives and where I teach. And I slide in metaphysics through the lens of how I work with the kids. I don't call it metaphysics, but I just use these principles. And this week was all about using the light touch. That was the whole title and column. Because, you know, in education, especially in that world, it's just so easy to take everything very, very seriously. And parents feel like, you know, like the way people are interacting, it's like we just got to remember to trust each other and bring out the best in one another by using the, because light touch, that's, if I come to you with the light touch, it's letting you know that I trust you to do it, you know? And I find that with the students lately, I saw this one little video and it had me, the kid, it was like a kid who some adult was trying to get him to do something. And they were like, can you please do this? And the video was like, try just doing it. Would you do this instead of, can you? And it's crazy, but I've been doing that, using that. Like at first I saw, what's the difference, right? But I use it with kids and it just takes the energy of, I start using the light touch and they're going, and they're doing something with another student. I go, would you please finish your work right now? And, you know, you guys can talk later instead of, can you please, you know, and they, it really calls out the Christ within them. Calls out the best. And because I'm asking them, would you please? Now I'm honoring them and using the light touch and I see, I mean, what looks like miracles happening all the time, and it's amazing. So I love that light touch. I need that reminder. And then one more question before we go to the story. Anything you could share, a quick story maybe regarding Eric Butterworth, because his book Celebrate Yourself was one of the big time books in my life that has changed my life. And I know you spend a lot of time with Eric Butterworth?
I worked with Eric, and before I went to be his associate in the summers, I would be his fill-in minister when he'd go on vacation.
Mm.
But he often quoted Charles Fillmore, who said the greatest words in the Bible are, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he would explain that. He said, he's not talking Jesus in you. He's right. Talking the Christ, the God self that was in Jesus that he recognized and lived. And that's what he was saying. That God's self, that holiness, that divine that is in you, that's your hope of glory. So, Eric Butterworth.
That's beautiful. Man, you are nailing it, man. Everything we're throwing at you, from Cupferly to Roland to Butterworth. All right. I guess you are suitable to be a minister, sir.
Reverend Blue Jeans.
That's right. That's funny. Would you share that real quick? Because you guys have a very strange thing in common related to a Neil Diamond song.
Yeah. When John, before the show, John said, well, go ahead, John. What did you say? We remind you.
Well, there used to be a Neil Diamond song, Forever in Blue Jeans. But when I heard that, I was hearing For Reverend Blue Jeans. And I thought, that's what I want to be, Reverend Blue Jeans. I look at you guys. You are Reverend Blue Jeans. And there it is. So,
yeah.
But you heard it the same way.
I heard it similarly. I thought he was singing The Reverend in Blue Jeans. And I thought, wow, there's a reverend. Because it came out during like that late 60s when, it was hippies and blue jeans became like the normal clothing. So I go, wow, they're talking about he's singing about some sort of cool, like hip minister in blue jeans.
I like the split screen of you and John both hearing that come on the radio and both of you thinking that same thought at the same time.
Well,
that's pretty amazing.
And I was singing along with it. Reverend in Blue Jeans. When I found out it was Forever in Blue Jeans, I was like, yeah. What?
Me too. I had the same response.
That Reverend Blue Jeans is so much better.
It is.
That's more Beatles-esque kind of a thing, or like, you know, like, I love that image. That's great. Reverend John Strickland, we want to thank you for coming on the show. Anything else you want to throw in before we read you this little story?
It's always my pleasure to be with you, and you brighten my day. Every time I see or hear you guys, lifts me, and yay, thank you.
Oh same God. Here.
We feel the same way, and thank you for introducing us to Wayne Manning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the music of Janet Manning, so good. Yeah. And that's been actually going around because we were on a Zoom call with Nancy Norman, and one of the people, Lois, who's out there, we love you, Lois, watches the show. She learned that song, and now she's been sharing one of Janet's songs.
Thank you. And if the thank you song.
Yeah, the thank you song. So,
well, just a little thought about Wayne. We used to be on the board together at the headquarters, and in the meetings they had to separate us because there was too much frivolity, shall we say, and they had to keep us apart.
Well, you know, it's funny you say the board. Because we have a little story. We couldn't have written this any better.
So timed it or planned it.
Yeah. At the end of one of his Sunday services, this was before John really learned to lighten up and bring so much joy, Reverend John Strickland announced,
"Oh, I say, there will be a meeting of the church board immediately after the service."
When the congregation had gone, the church board gathered at the back of the sanctuary for the announced meeting. But a stranger was in their midst. A visitor who had never attended their church before that day. John asked him,
"My friend, didn't you understand that this is a meeting of the board?"
The man smiled.
"Yes, and after today's sermon, I suppose I'm just about as bored as anyone else who came to this meeting."
True story.
Oh, my God. I think
he also said, and I don't know how you could ever make a living as a minister.
I think when Paul McCartney was dabbling in some weed or the LSD, he was visited by Jesus, who gave him the original lyrics to this song. Are you ready?
Yeah, because you love this song.
Yes. Listen.
Ooh, wow.
Do you want to know a shortcut?
Ooh, wow.
Do you promise not to tell?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Closer.
Ooh, wow.
Let me whisper in your ear.
Ooh, wow.
Say the words you long to hear. God's in love with you.
Ooh. Oh, visit DarylNed.com to find
John Strickland, we love you.
To everything we do.
Oh, closer.
Ooh, ah, ooh.
Let me whisper in your ear.
Ooh, ah, ooh.
Say the words you long to hear. God's in love with you. Wow.
Thank you for listening to The Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed. Listen in as these unlikely saints share more real-life stories of how surrendering to divine order always leads to better-than-expected outcomes. This program has been made possible by God through automated monthly transfers from Daryl and Ed's credit cards.
Recording your podcast at home or using cheap gear or spending all your time editing or
here at Chobo, we have podcast studios, podcast editing, podcast distribution, podcast clips, and don't forget the snack bar. Completely automate your podcast or just delegate the work you don't want to do.
Dead ass.